Good morning. Happy Monday. Here we go. Last Monday of January. Isn't that a good feeling? We're moving into February. It's just the winter's flying already. Okay. Hey, a couple quick announcements. You know, in the fall, we have a men's night out only and a women's night out only. But Friday, we're having a co-ed men and women's night out that you'll want to be a part of. 7 o'clock to midnight, we're going to be gathering off campus. $5, great night being together. Sign up online. Second announcement, we just launched a new initiative last night with Erica called Life After College. And this is going to be, over the next 6 weeks, there are going to be sessions weekly on things to consider after you get out of college. This week is Life After College, Finding a Church. There'll be two times that these initiatives will be meeting. One is on Wednesdays from 3 to 5, and Thursdays, 7 to 9, Martha Miller. Done announcements. Okay, I'd like to welcome Erica Young-Wright, who was at the gathering last night. Heard Erica, very good. She's going to continue today, and I'm not going to waste any more of her time. Would you please welcome Erica to the pulpit?
Thank you. Thanks so much. Thank you so much. I am so excited to be here. I love Hope College. This place is awesome. There is something really unique about being here, so I am truly honored to be a part of this service this morning. I've been praying for you guys, especially for this Life After College series that you're about to kick off. It's kind of the very thing I wish I would have had my senior year of college, and yet, if my alma mater had offered it, like, I'm not even sure that I would have taken advantage of it. I loved college. I was so in the moment of my senior year that I'm not sure I would have pressed pause and been a part. I really had no clue what obstacles lie ahead and really how much my future self might have thanked me if I was a part of something like that. So I'll be really honest. The shift from college to the next phase of life was the most difficult transition I made up to that point in my life. And I know I'm not alone in that. My experience is similar to countless other college students who cross the commencement stage and are forced to kind of forge their way in life after college. And so this morning, I'm going to share some of my story, partly as a cautionary tale, partly as a plea to do all you can to prepare, but also some life lessons that I learned along the way that I hope that you can apply to any transitional time, because life is full of transitions. So regardless of what transition you're in right now and what year you're in school, I hope you find some takeaways. I graduated in 2002, and I really had no post-graduation plan. I had no idea what I was going to do after college. So I did what about 36% of your senior peers will do in May. I moved home with my parents. I was home in New York for about 3 days, and I'm like, I love my parents, but I cannot live here. After kind of the autonomy of college, it just felt very claustrophobic to move back home. So I called my college roommate and said, I will move to the middle of nowhere, State College, Pennsylvania with you. She asked if I would come out there. So we looked for housing, we secured a lease, but the lease didn't start until August. So we had a few months before making the move. And that summer was a very fallow time, kind of like most transitional times, that in-between time. And I was eager to fill it with something interesting. So I asked my dad if he would teach me how to drive our 5-speed. It was a 94 Toyota Corolla. How many people know how to drive a 5-speed? This is a good life skill to learn. Kudos to these folks. It takes some practice. If you've learned, you know it takes some practice. And so we practiced that summer, but we really didn't get in as much time as I would have liked. And then I'm making this move, and I need a car. So my dad offers to sell the car to me. So I move out to State College with this car that I really don't know how to drive. Like, I can barely shift gears on this thing. I certainly don't know how to stop on a hill. And the house that we rented was this little farmhouse at the end of a lane. And then when you got up to the lane, it was this incline and then a stop sign and then the main road. And I would just go, and I didn't want to stop, so I just like rip out onto the highway. And my roommate was like, you are going to kill yourself doing that. I'd be like downtown driving this car. Now, State College doesn't really have a downtown, but there's like sort of a little lap. And at the time, people were really into like souping up their cars and like showing them off downtown. So I'd be down there. There's signs like 3-lap limit. I'd be at a stop sign just like, you know, revving the engine, and people are looking at me like, you trying to show off your car? I'm like, no, I just don't know how to drive it. In many ways, driving that car became a metaphor for my life right after college. That awkwardness, that eagerness to get out, but not really having a clue what I'm doing. And today I want to talk to you about, like, here's what I learned about transitions from learning to drive a 5-speed. In the same way that shifting gears on this manual transmission was difficult at first, so was changing gears in life, especially the transition of leaving college and shifting from that role of student to worker. Sometimes the next phase is hard because there's things we could have done to better prepare for it, but it's also hard because we're in a major transitional time. Transitions are tough. I think about one of my students, Faye, who graduated and about 9 months into graduation, texted me and said, "Why does the first year out have to be so hard?" And Faye made some great decisions. She prayed about the place where she was going to move before she took the offer. She got a good job offer in a company that she aligned with the mission. She found a church right away. But still, there were parts of the transition that were really challenging. The loss of community when all of us, you know, all the friends scattered to all parts of the U.S. Some things that happened. She had a cycling accident that was a major setback financially. Corrupt landlord. She saw like sin in herself and other people like never before, like launched out with this eagerness, like, "I want to change the world, and I want you guys to change the world." And to also keep in mind something that Faye said, "I forgot the suffering side of the gospel. I forgot that there's tragedy and triumph." And friends, we are living in the now but not yet, and so we're going to feel those groans, those pains of living in the now but not yet. If your transition goes more smoothly than possible, give thanks. But if it doesn't, don't worry, and there is hope. Also, difficult doesn't mean mistake. Just because something feels disorienting and distressing, it doesn't mean we need to go somewhere else. In fact, we may be exactly where God wants us. Another thing I learned, sometimes you stall. When you're first learning to drive a 5-speed, you're likely going to stall. The engine's going to cut out. It's not fun, especially like if you're in the middle of an intersection or everyone's honking at you or you're on a hill. I think we live in a culture where there's not much room for stalling, for rocky starts. We can feel like if we're not on to that next thing, that we're missing out or we're letting people down, our parents, even ourselves. Like we're at that intersection and everyone's honking and we're not even sure how to move forward. I think about a student, Jackie, who graduated with an occupational therapy degree and realized this is not what I want to do with my life. And instead of freaking out, Jackie moved home for a few months. She did some informational interviews. She did some job shadowing with a physician assistant. And long story short, God provided for Jackie in an amazing way. She secured this nursing assistant position in a rotational hospital that would expose her to different parts of the field. And, you know, I asked Jackie, like, why was this transition, you know, how did it go more smoothly than you pictured? And she said, "You know, it's a confusing time, but the biggest thing that kept me calm was realizing that I don't have to be rushed as I figure things out. Like, I can take a breath and not let things go into a downward spiral." Friends, we gotta let go of this very linear view of life and embrace the detours sometimes. And my caveat is, like, we don't wanna wander through our 20s, but we also don't wanna feel like we're doing something wrong if we're not on this fast track to the next thing. I see students write off even stretches of their lives because they wanna be on to that next thing. Like a student who, the middle of senior year, realized, like, she was writing off the stretch from the middle of senior year till the time she was gonna get engaged and married, like as if that stretch didn't matter. She wasn't even engaged yet. I see students right off the summer that they're living with their parents. God doesn't waste any stretch. It all matters. The last thing, if you break down and burn out, it's going to be okay. It probably won't surprise you to learn that I, like, totally blew the clutch out on that car in the first few months of driving it, like, after moving to State College. My first job out of college was a program with AmeriCorps, and I was working with youth on probation, and we took these guys away for like a day trip to whitewater raft the Yaukagane River. And we're coming home from this trip, it's late at night, probably like 10, 11 o'clock, and I've got these three boys in my car, and we're on this stretch of highway called the Benner Pike, and on the one side it's this big open field, and on the other side it's a state penitentiary, Rockview. And so we're driving along, and all of a sudden, like, we start to smell this smell, like this like burnt rubber smell, and this one student is like, "Miss, that's clutch." And he didn't mean it in like a cool way. He was like, "No, like your clutch is burning out." Like I didn't know what burning out my clutch was gonna be like. So sure enough, like I couldn't engage the gears anymore. The smoke is the smell is coming, and my car just kinda turns over to the side of the road. It's broken down. It's late at night. There's all these signs that say, like, "Do not stop, do not pull over, do not put anyone in your car." And then, of course, the boys are like, oh, man, we got to go to the bathroom. So they're, like, getting out of the car, dropping trowel. I mean, it was, like, really, I mean, it's funny now, but I did feel like I was in a very vulnerable position. Like, this was not the situation I expected myself to be in right after college. If you would have told me, like, you know, this is what's going to happen. You're going to be, you know, with these youth on probation at 11 o'clock at night in front of the state penitentiary. Like, this was not the situation I envisioned. And so I'm sure I threw up, like, a desperate prayer of, like, God, you need to show up in this time. And sure enough, this coworker of mine was driving that stretch of highway and saw us, pulled over on the side of the road. So Allie stopped and provided transportation for us. And God, I mean, God rescued me in that moment. He does show up in those moments of breakdown and burnout. And I wish I could say that was like the only burnout and breakdown I had in my life. I did things similar in my personal life. My first year working for the CCO, I mean, I totally burnt out. I actually like checked myself into a convent in like November of my first year because I was on the treadmill. I was trying to please everybody but God and running hard after so many different things that I just completely burnt myself out and was like, I need silence. And the only place I thought, where can I get really silent was this nunnery like an hour away. And so I went there. I mean, I just slept. So like cautionary tale, balance, boundaries, those kind of things. As I conclude, I should mention that I did eventually learn to drive that car, even while stopped on a hill. And so, friends, we can learn a new normal. It's going to be awkward at first, but we do learn a new normal. And so my challenge to us this morning is, you know, embrace the awkwardness of shifting gears. I think most important things in life are awkward. So push through the awkwardness. Embrace it. Embrace the awkwardness of a transitional time. God does some of his best work during transitional times. And so my encouragement is milk it for all it's worth. Don't try to rush through it or run away from it. And then be patient when and if you feel like you're stalled. Detours are okay, and God doesn't waste any stretch. And last, no matter what situation you find yourself in, I pray you have faith to know it's going to be okay. God's got you, and he's got amazing things in store. Let's pray. Gracious God, I praise you that you are our solid rock in every dynamic time, that you're the sure place where we find our footing. And God, when it feels like everything is chaos, I praise you that you are a God of peace, not a God of confusion. And that if we're feeling like we have no place to put our stake, God, I thank you that the stake is already in the ground. Jesus, that you went to the cross for us and died for us and rose again. And that is sure. And there is no progress from that point. So let us find ourselves at the foot of the cross. And as we go from here, let us go in peace to love and serve you and know that you've got us. We praise you. We praise you for the power that is in your name, Jesus. Amen.